more Idaho Matters right now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. Well, it has been a busy summer on the Boise River with a record-breaking number of people taking part in one of the area's favorite activities, floating the river. And as the hotter months come to an end, we wanted to check in and see how the season went. So joining us for an update are Bonnie Shelton, Communication and Marketing Superintendent for Boise Parks and Recreation, and Scott Coburg, Director of Ada County Parks and Waterways. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you, Gemma. Great to be here.
So the floating season has officially come to an end. Scott, how many people were out on the water this summer? Do we know?
You know, it's a great question, Gemma. We get that every year, and it's kind of hard to estimate. We sort of throw a target out there that we're probably about 135,000 folks that have floated the Boise River this summer. Busy as usual, a lot of smiling, happy faces out there, and overall, really successful season.
So how did this float season compare to others?
You know, it's a good question. It was actually, you know, I don't know that we'll ever surpass last year's numbers. 2022 was sort of off the charts. It was a hot, dry, long summer. Yeah. And this year we had some sort of unusual weather that did influence the total number of floaters that that floated the Boise River this summer. It was a bit of a decrease, I'll say, overall in terms of total visitation to Barber Park. But ultimately, I think it's probably more of an equilibrium now. We've kind of reached a point where we climbed this mountain. We'd increased in total visitation every year since 2017 when we had the flood year. And, you know, we were kind of waiting to peak out and to see where it would go. And I think it was a smoother year all around because of that minor decrease.
Mm-hmm. So, Bonnie, how did that impact local agencies? I mean, things like Boise Fire, I mean, Parks and Rec, you know, Ada County Parks and Waterways?
Well, this is a huge effort. As you can see, with that many visitors coming not only to Barber Park, but landing here at Ann Morrison Park, the potential calls that can come in on the river for Boise Fire, it's definitely a huge lift and something that we all plan for throughout the year. I can just imagine Scott shaking his head up and down right now as I say that, but I don't think many people realize just how much planning and effort goes into the float season. And that's really why we all wanted to come together more officially and create floattheboise.org and really the brand and messaging behind all of the safety information, guided tour, the checklist and trip information that's now available all in one place online. We saw such a huge increase in floaters last season. So many calls. I think it was 127 calls for Boise Fire just in about 3 months on the river last year alone. And so that was really a trigger for the city, the county to come together and say, we need to address this differently and get that safety information out to people who are maybe new to the area, who weren't sure what they would encounter when they got there and got into some trouble. And I think it made a big difference this year.
So did you have emergency calls on the river? I mean, I think you did, Bonnie, but how did that compare to previous years?
Yeah, I just actually checked in with Boise Fire to see how this last past weekend of float season went. And this season, from the start date on the 29th of June until Monday, they had 29 total calls. So compared to last year when they had 127, that's a huge drop. And I think it's a lot of factors in talking with the dive team and the chiefs. Last year, we had high flows that continued for quite a while at the beginning of the season. So people were getting on the river and going a lot faster, you know, reaching those bridges with pylons quicker and maybe had their tubes tied together and couldn't get around them, weren't prepared for the conditions that they were seeing. But this year, we had, you know, high flows to start within our 1500 to 600 CFS range, but they quickly dropped to a more manageable level and the call volume really dropped off for Boise Fire as well. And I also think just people having a place to go to get prepared, know what they needed to bring, our messaging about wearing life jackets and things like that, I really do think it helped decrease that call volume, which was really the overall goal, was just to make sure people are not only having fun, but being safe when they're on the Boise River.
Okay, so Scott, I will tell you this. My family and I, we float the Boise at least once a year. It's something that we do with our kids. Every year, we always rent out at Barber Park. And I have to say, okay, here's what I noticed this year. First off, there was a DJ booth. Somebody set one up. And there were a lot of folks on the river. But the thing is, too, and I'm so dating myself here because of how many years I floated this river, is the amount of people that really like kind of hang out and make a day of it, even on the banks of the river. And this kind of, to me, feels new since COVID, frankly, when all of the Boise pools shut down and people really flocked to the river to really get out of that summer heat. So there seems to, I guess, be kind of a change in the vibe of floating the river. Have you thought about that or heard from folks about that?
Yeah, Gemma, I think you're right on track there. It definitely has evolved as an activity to do in the valley for several years now. And yeah, you mentioned the DJ. Yeah, we did see some posts of that online as well. And it's kind of a different way, different kind of group that's entertaining folks floating the river. You know, it's changed as an activity in terms of the folks that now live in our valley and have moved to the valley and are actually coming here for tourism as well. So you see quite a diverse population floating the river these days. I think it's exciting to introduce kids and families to the river appropriately so that we can encourage safety and having fun at the same time. There's no real better way to experience this wonderful amenity we have in the valley, the Boise River, than to float it. I mean, the Greenbelt is an excellent resource for kind of experiencing the Boise River corridor in a different way, but when you're floating it, it's just a whole different world. It's a different vibe. And yeah, what you saw out there this year, Gemma, is, you know, if you went on a weekend, Saturdays are always the busiest day. That's been consistent for years now. You would see, you know, larger groups, maybe more vocal and, you know, groups having a little bit more of a different fun time. If you float during the week, on weekday evenings, perhaps, you might have a little bit mellow experience, you know, kind of a date night type float. It does calm down quite a bit. So we see it all, to be honest with you. We have seen a change in the transition and really who's floating. But you know, kind of to build on Bonnie's point, we're happy that we have kind of this audience that is now checking out the floatheboise.org page, and it's all about be safe, have fun, float the Boise.
So, Bonnie, I want to go back to that Float the Boise, this new website. Can you talk to us a little bit more about it, and really the resources that were there? Because I think one of the things is you can even go with a guide down the Boise River now.
Yeah, I mean, there's some different businesses that operate kind of separate from just putting in your own raft or tube and floating down the river or even renting from Barber Park. So this has definitely become, I think, more of an experience that's promoted. And you talk about social media. We have social media pages for Float the Boise that have been super popular. It's almost become like an influencer thing. Like when you come to Boise, you got to float the river. And so we really wanted to try and not only capitalize on that, but also getting this information into the hands of not just those longtime people who have lived in the valley and have floated this river and maybe haven't experienced the changes since before COVID, but also the younger people who are in town, the Boise State students, just the young families who maybe are going to do this as a tradition every year. And we worked closely with Boise Fire. They have an analyst there, Joanna, who took all of the information that's gathered on hazards along the river from the dive team. So the experts who are out there navigating this river on an annual basis brought in the expertise from Scott and Ada County and what they've seen over the years. And they built this really cool tool, an interactive map on floattheboise.org, where you can see exactly what rapids you're going to encounter, different hazards like sweepers and strainers that you could encounter, trees in the river. And it can all be updated very quickly. So as this river, which changes every year with snowpack and different flows, I mean, there's things that can change in a day if there's a storm that knocks a tree down. And they're mapping all of that as they go along the river. So why not put that online in an easy to digest way that people can look at and kind of prepare themselves with a safety checklist, with current conditions, they can look at how fast the river's flowing, what the temperature is, what the wind speed is, just all that information that we knew people were searching for, along with parking and rental information. Why not put that all in one place? And so that's really where the idea for floattheboise.org came from. Joanna did all the heavy lifting with kind of building out the interactive map, putting in the data that was being collected. But it's really just become our one-stop shop. You don't need to know who manages what, whether it's Ada County, City of Boise. You can go there, know you're getting official information, and make sure that you know what you're going to encounter to be the best prepared before you float the river and still have a great fun time. It's still an awesome pastime here in the city, but why not just give the people the information they need all in one spot so they're not bouncing around to different places or maybe checking out something that doesn't have the most up-to-date info from the dive team on the river.
Well, and in particular about I think the fact that there are some Class II rapids on that river. And if you're new to
Exactly.
town, right? If you're new to town or you're coming here for vacation, I always say to my husband when we're floating, I'm like, I think some people think this is supposed to be a swimming pool and you're actually, in a river. And so just having that information is so critically important. Before I let you leave, Bonnie, anything you're planning on, changing ahead of next year's season?
Yeah, we're actually going to sit down and have kind of an after action talk about how this season went. I think obviously making sure that we're continuing to update the map and the guided tour. We'd love to add a video tour that takes you down the whole river that people can watch. We've taken a look at some of the best practices of other cities that have a float like this and what they've provided to their visitors. And I think that is something that we can definitely do. And then obviously the biggest question we always get is about parking and how to know if parking at Barber Park is full or parking at Ann Morrison Park is filling up. And those are questions we've gotten from council members as well and just leadership in general. So I think we'll be taking a look at how we can potentially better know what the situation is when things are filling up, if there's some kind of system we can implement like we have at the Boise Airport that gives you that real-time look at how many spots are left. And can we budget for something like that in the future? And then Scott can maybe talk to this, but just having a better way of estimating just how many people are floating the Boise River from Barber Park to Ann Morrison.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, we're taking center stage. Introducing NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of Black-led stories from NPR's podcasts. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.